Yeah, so this is the Grand Commission Caucus. We're at day three. Those of you who've been coming by morning and night, you're getting used to things here. And look, this is a bastion of Wesleyan Arminianism. This is kind of the mothership, Asbury University. I'm not sure everyone's aware of that. Some of you undergrads might not know what's going on. So if there's anyone in the room here that feels they need to know a little bit more about Wesleyan holiness, can you throw your hand up in the air and you get a free gift? Oh, there's a free gift. Okay, be careful, guys. Whoa. Ouch. Okay, so the next questions are going to be a little more difficult. You want to pull out your text, your phone, your cell phone. And I warned you Monday that we're starting easy and it's going to get harder. It's getting harder. Are you ready? We're texting 22333. So 22333. And the first question goes like this. Which sin entangles you? You'll know the reference to Hebrews 12 there. About the sin that so easily entangles. Which sin entangles you? You got a few options. Only four here for the screen. Sex, porn, power, appetite, greed. So if you want to take a few moments and start texting away to 22333. Recognizing the definite article in Hebrews 12 suggests that the sin that the devil likes to use against me is probably different from the sin that he wants to use against you. So we figured asking might help each of us identify what it is for us and also get a good handle on what we need to be confronting and how we want to attack it. So sex porn, leading the way, doubling up on greed, power and appetite, bringing up the... Oh, it's a fight for third place. Give you about 17 more seconds, okay, on this first one. Any surprises? And we are going to shut it down. All right, thanks for your answer to the first question. The second one goes like this. How do you try to get free of that sin that so easily entangles? How do you try to get free? Here are a few options. Spiritual accountability, counseling, deliverance, prayer. There might be other things, but see if you can fit it into one of those options. How do you try to get free from that sin that so easily entangles? Spiritual accountability, counseling, deliverance, prayer. We're still texting 22333. Sorry for everyone that doesn't have a cell phone, the three of us in the room. You guys can just think about your answers. Pray to the Lord. I recognize there's some overlap on these answers, but do your best, please. And these results will show up in your final exams. No, they won't. Well, maybe the final exams, you know, the judgment bar. Who knows? I don't really know how that works. Okay, well, prayer is a runaway leader on that one. Excellent. Okay, here's another one. How many Christians do you know that are enslaved to harmful sin? How many Christians do you know that are enslaved to harmful sin? Might be a theological quandary there. Can you be a Christian and be enslaved? But it seems like the undergrads have no problem with that theological quandary. No, that's great. Keep being honest, folks. Thanks. Wow. Keep going. Which is a dumb thing to say because you can only vote once per question. Wow. Okay, so lots of people. And counting. I'll give you another 8 seconds. It's 22333. Okay, next one. Number four. Are you ready? This is a long one this morning. We've got like six. Number four. Have you had sex outside of marriage? No. Once. Occasionally. Habitually. Have you had sex outside of marriage? Wow, a runaway winner on this one. Praise the Lord. Let's see if we can get up to 400 before we move on. We're at 391. Okay, let's move on. Two more questions. How often do you look at porn? Never, though occasionally, often, habitually. How often do you look at porn? Just glance to your left and your right and behind to make sure no one's peeking over your shoulder to see the numbers that you're entering. All right, we're not going to wait for that to get to 400. We're going to move on right now to the last question. Are you ready? Have you ever played Grand Theft Auto? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Have you ever played Grand Theft Auto? 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5? Yes or no? There's only 4 people in the room that know what we're talking about. Oh, wait, that's not true. Now, I had a Bible here somewhere. Oh, there it is. I think the no's are going to win. We won't ask about League of Legends because we don't really mind that game. All right, get another 13 seconds and then we'll close it down. It's not that tough. Either you did or you didn't. Yes or no. Can we get to 300? Can we do it? Can we do it? No. All right, well, we're just waiting for the last few people to vote. You want to turn in your Bible to Judges chapter 6, please? Judges chapter 6. It's about this far in your Bible, those of you guys who are, still haven't got to the Old Testament. It's page 234 in mine. Okay, so Judges 6. I wonder if you can turn to the person next to you and read to them verses 25 through 33. 25 through 33. Out loud, begin now. So we're just wrapping up that text.
So today we're talking about freedom, right? And we started on Monday with a great Exodus story that God actually has in mind to free the people of God and to bring liberation, not just for you, but for the entire planet. That this boundless commission that we're called to is the love of God redeeming the whole entire world. And that it's not just a syringe flavored, you know, just a syringe style. It's a boundless ocean. It's this thing that God wants to do. He wants to redeem the whole earth. And what we really want to do today is talk about why that isn't happening. I mean, look at you. You're beautiful. You're talented. You're awesome. You come from, many of you, from amazing heritage and lineage of faith. I mean, Asbury is the start of a revival or two or three or something like that. There's just an incredible heritage here. And the commission of God's been going on for thousands of years. And the Holy Spirit comes with great power. We understand the sovereignty and the principles of God, that he is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. I mean, it's not beyond his grasp. It's even in his will, his desire, his deepest desire is to save the world. So why? How is it possible that 27 million people are enslaved, are bought and sold every day? How is it possible that extreme poverty still ravishes the earth? How is it possible that we live in such an evil age and that evil seems to grow in its capacity for damaging the world? How is it possible that you guys, with all of your gifts and skills and all of your families and churches and communities, are not actually doing this great commission? How is it happening that the world isn't saved yet? And I kind of wonder this sometimes. I think, like, how is this? And I think in the end, what happens is what we talked about on Monday is this assimilation problem, that actually the people of God, first of all, forget who they are and forget why they're here. We start to actually believe a grand lie of the enemy, that salvation is for us and not for the whosoever, that salvation is for what we want. The salvation, the blessings of God are for our family or for our benefit or for our community or for our future job. And we forget that actually salvation is for the entire world. I think partly it's about remembering who we are, remembering why we're here. But, and I also think that actually the enemy, the assimilation of dominant culture, in other words, we've become just like everybody else. I was talking to somebody the other day, 27 million slaves, 60% of those are sold in the sex industry, right? 60% of 27 million. Someone who does math can figure that one out. They're sold into the sex industry, you know, a jumbo jet full of people every single day are sold, bought and sold as slaves. And I was speaking at a youth conference not that long ago, like that thousands of kids, and I was saying to them, you know, why is this happening? You know, a couple guys came to me afterwards and they said, look, it's because of us. I said, really? You're the cause of the sex industry? You know, it's like, wow, I've been meaning to meet you for a long time. Stand there, I'm going to get my gun, you know. They said, no, it's us. We're the problem. It's us. We're the problem. Something's, actually, we're enslaved. We're enslaved to porn. And actually, I've been talking to guys all the time because my main work is with women, right? My main work is, like, I'm a rescuer. I'm a saver. So I go into massage parlors and I'm like, you can be free. You know, you don't have to live this way. And I go out on the streets and I'm scouring the streets and we're looking for human trafficking victims and we're mapping our neighborhood and we're going, we can set these guys free. I mean, there's this beautiful tradition, which I don't have time to tell you about, but in 1902, the Salvation Army in Japan, you know, they storm into this brothel system like in Thailand. If you ever have a chance to go, they just storm into this 20,000 women enslaved, indebted into slave labor. They say, whoever wants to be free, you know, come with us. Like, that's kind of my style. You know, I like that. I like that kind of salvation thing. You know, I think that's cool. That's why I wear a super suit. But actually, there's actually an even deeper slavery going on that actually perpetuates the problem of evil in the world, that actually prevents us from doing the Great Commission, that actually keeps the people of God themselves. And this is the Exodus thing. This is the Gideon thing. This is that Judges thing. The very first thing that Gideon had to do to get his people from an oppressed state to a free state, to get his people from the defensive into the offensive, the thing he had to do was he had to smash his father's idols. The thing he had to do is he actually had to get his own people free. Do you see what I mean? It's not just they're on the defensive. They're on the, because they become enslaved. And actually, if you ever read, I don't know if you had this problem, but when you read the Exodus story and you read about Pharaoh, and the scripture actually says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, you know, and I'm just like, that's so unkind. You know, like, that's so weird. Why would God do that? You know, just so he could crush Pharaoh. But actually, what's happening there is it's a loosening. All the plagues that come against Pharaoh, all of the plagues that are coming against him are explaining the sovereignty of God over all the gods of Egypt. And what's happened, as we talked about on Monday, is that the people have begun to worship Egypt. The people have begun to worship glory. I mean, we see that later on in the desert when they don't know what to do. And so they build a golden calf and they worship the very thing that they learned to worship in Egypt. So that the idols become actually the things that the people of God are worshiping. And there's this synchronism with culture. And so, but there's no set apartness. There's no freedom. So the people themselves are enslaved. And the same's happening in Judges. The people are enslaved by fear. They're enslaved by false worship. They're enslaved by the dominant cultural values. So you have 27 million people, millions of people that are bought and sold in a sex industry that are crying out for freedom. And you have a whole church addicted to porn. Do you see what I mean? Do you get what I'm talking about? 11 to 14 year old boys, 60% of them are exposed to porn weekly. In other words, it's a conspiracy. In case you didn't realize, the enslavement, it's not about shame. It's not about you being beaten up. Ah, oh, that's it. We're going to beat you up because you're enslaved to porn. It's about freedom. Actually, the Lord wants to set us free. That's what the Great Commission is. It's not another guilt trip for you. Here, welcome to Sunday school. You know, have you read your Bible? No, shame on you. Have you gotten anyone saved lately? No, shame on you. That's not the point. It's not to heap more things on you. It's actually to liberate you. 1 John 3:8 said, the Son came, Jesus came, motivated by love to destroy the works of the enemy. In other words, God's great purpose, even in the very beginning, the Exodus story, was to free Israel from the grip of the enemy. And actually, that destroy, the word, it means luo in Greek. It means to loosen. Like if you had a sweater with a little thing that you would pull, a little piece of yarn sticking out, and your mom says, don't pull that, don't pull that, don't pull that, right? I'll sew that back in. I'll tuck that back in. Don't pull it. Because if you pull that, what happens? The sweater unravels. And the slavery that wraps around us and keeps us in bondage and keeps the people of God on the defense instead of on the offense, that slavery actually can be loosened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And until we're free, we won't be able to fulfill this thing. Until we're free, we won't be able to encounter on the inside the boundless life of God, but we won't also be able to help other people experience the boundless life of God. And so Gideon, you know, like out of an episode of A Bug's Life, right? He's like a little ant collecting food for the grasshoppers that are going to come later and steal it all, you know. And like that little ant, the Lord comes to him, you know. And maybe you feel that way too. Maybe you're just like crawling around Asbury campus trying to look for crumbs, you know, while the enemy just comes along every time and steals it from you, robs you of your joy, fills your life with shame, enslaves you on the inside. You're wrapped up in dominant culture. You have idols of comfort and wealth and sexual slavery. I mean, those are sort of dominant. The other day we were doing the poll about what, you know, what prevents you from doing things. And so many of you said fear. Do you know that fear is it's a dominant cultural value? It's what's worship. What will people think? What will people do? What will happen if? And fear dominates our culture. People are living in a state of fear. I mean, have you ever just even watched the news? We even package fear. And some of you are enslaved by fear. You can't even actually come out. You can't even sort of say, yes, I'm enslaved. That's because you're too afraid to be enslaved out loud. It's that kind of wrapped up bondage that keeps us from being the people that God's called us to be in the world. Do you understand? And what salvation means to a bunch of us who come from Christian heritages and want to see this great commission, it doesn't just mean the heaping on of more things to do. It means the liberation inside of us. It means that God wants to unwrap us from the dominant culture. It means that God wants us to come out and to be free. And so in Egypt, he dismantles God after God after God after God, smashing the grip of Satan over his people, smashing the false witness. You know, when the leaders of Israel were judged by God when they died, and God said, you know, this guy, he did great things because he built up the kingdom of God. He actually judged them on two factors. One was what they built, but the other one was on what they destroyed. It dawned on me the other day, you know, I was thinking, this guy, you know, this guy was incredible because he built a temple to the Lord, but he let the high places remain. He didn't tear down those things. He didn't destroy the enemy work. Jesus came to bring good news to the poor, and he also came to bring liberation to the captives. He came to bring freedom. And the only way that we're going to get free is if we're willing to smash our idols. This is what God says to Gideon. You want to lead a mighty group of people into freedom? Do you want to take the land? Do you want to actually overthrow the oppressor? Do you want to stop human trafficking in our lifetime? Yes, of course we do. Is it possible? Of course it's possible. Look at you. You're gifted. You're able. You're willing. You're incredible. Like, you could do it. Of course we could do it. We have the Holy Spirit on our side. If God is for us, who could be against us? Well, we could be against us. We can be against us. Trapped inside, allowing sin to entangle us, allowing sin to hold us tight so that actually when it comes to it, we have no authority and we have no power because sin keeps us wrapped up and keeps us in bondage. And Gideon says, Gideon, you want to be free? You want to be free? You want to be the mighty warrior that leads God's people into freedom? Do you want to do the purposes of God in your lifetime? You want to be part of this thing called balanced salvation? Let's start tonight. This is what he says. God says to you, let's start tonight. Smash your idol. Smash your idols. Smash them up. Cut them up. Get rid of them. Free them up. Now, tonight, we're going to do a little bit more sort of ministry in this regard. And if you're enslaved and you just feel like, or you know people who are, and you're just like, we got to get free. I just really believe the Lord wants to set us free on the inside out, not just on the outside in. We've got that one down. If you grew up in a Christian context, you got that one. I got it too. But on the inside out, how do we really get free so we can set other people free?
So we're going to do a little prophetic act right now, not prophetic of the legacy games or the dorm Olympics or anything like that, or even in the meeting tonight. Well, yeah, of the meeting tonight, I think. We need a volunteer. One volunteer, we probably won't embarrass you. You're a volunteer? Come on up. Okay, come on up. That was quick. Excellent. Who are you?
I'm Asher.
Asher. Awesome name. Give it up for Asher. What year are you in?
I'm a senior.
A senior. What's your major?
Media communications.
And where are you from?
How appropriate.
And where are you headed?
I have no idea.
All right, you know what this is?
I do.
You want to take that to that? Not the guitar, the TV. Go on up and have at it. Yeah, cheer him on, encourage him. Asher's going to smash an idol on behalf of Asbury College. University, sorry. Yeah. Here, let me hold that for you. There. You all right? Okay.
You only get to do this once. I'm going to get serious.
Go big. You don't want to take more than 8 swings, so. Yeah! Yes! Woo! Look at that. You think he has done it before, but only once. That's fantastic. All the health and safety people, don't worry. It's covered before and behind and above and underneath. I think we're safe, Danielle.
Yeah, I think obviously a prophetic example of smashing something that can be idolatrous in our culture, but it's just the beginning, isn't it? It's just an act. It's just a stunt preaching deal, isn't it? Unless it becomes something that we can do for ourselves, unless it becomes something where you get really serious about in our own lives, owning our stuff, actually being honest and vulnerable, actually opening up our lives and laying them down before the Lord and saying to God, like the people of Israel, the Israelites, when they got oppressed enough, you know what they did? They cried out to God. When they got oppressed enough, when they realized, oh, wow, this life is getting too hard. I can't stop. I'm enslaved. I'm worshiping the wrong thing. I'm praying to a God and going to a comfort that will not satisfy me. I'm actually looking in the wrong places for the things that I know come from a living God who I know is alive. And they cried out to the Lord and they said, oh God, please, please. And I feel like that same spirit, if we're really serious about the liberation of the entire earth, the groanings that we hear, the cries of the oppressed in the world, then we really got to cry out for God for our own freedom. And I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm just going to pray that God's going to give you a revelation, an insight, that you would be open to the Holy Spirit's working in your life to know that you were called to be free. You were never called to be a slave. And if you are enslaved, it's not your fault. You're enslaved by an enemy who's come to destroy you, who hates you, who's come to actually devise a plan to get you off the track, to actually make your life smaller and smaller and smaller until it's about you and only you. You know, one of the guys I talked to who's addicted to porn, he's married. He's married to a beautiful woman. He can't even have sex with his wife. He can't. Because what porn does to your brain, you know, the porn that he's exposed himself over and over and over again to has deadened him to the pleasure of real sex. I mean, this is a fascinating poison, isn't it? It's a fascinating oppression. So he's married to this beautiful Christian woman, and he's supposed to be a Christian, but he can't even enjoy sex the way God intended it to be because it's so distorted and twisted, and his brain's been so twisted by this porn thing. And he's enslaved to people he can't even touch or see. He's enslaved by a demonic spirit. He's enslaved by a dominant culture. He's enslaved by an industry that spends billions of dollars trying to enslave you. And I want to say it's not the only enslavement. I mentioned fear too. I think fear is probably one of the massive gods of our age. We bow to fear all the time. When we talked on Monday, we talked about the two midwives that started the revolution in Egypt. You know, we always know the guy gets the glory, but the women start the work. They started the work because they feared God more than they feared Pharaoh. They were willing to stand up. They were willing to say, God, you first and you only. The sovereignty of God, the place that God needs to have in our lives in order to set us free. This is what smashing your idols is about. He says to Gideon, put me first. Put me first, Gideon. Put all that other stuff down. Lay it all out. Smash it all up. Destroy it all up. Jesus comes to destroy the work of the enemy, to loosen his grip over your life so that you might be set free to win the world for Jesus. 27 million people are depending on it. Let's pray. Jesus, we just acknowledge in this place your plan. You know, we're just so grateful for your love that knows no end, your love for the entire created order, that you so loved this thing you made, that you were willing to come to destroy the work of the enemy. And we just know right now that your sovereignty, you're big enough. You are big enough to overthrow the work of the enemy. No matter how big he seems to us, you are larger still. You're stronger, you're greater. You're able to do immeasurably more. You can free us from the inside. And I just want to pray for everybody here today, every single person. I want to pray for what enslaves them. What idols are in the way of their freedom. And I want to pray, God, that you would rise up in them to cry out to you for their own freedom, God. That you would, your Holy Spirit would work within them to loosen the grip of the enemy over their minds, over their hearts, over their lives, over their behaviors, God. That you would free us up so that we might bring a message of freedom to the earth. And I pray, God, that you would bring that just with your Holy Spirit flashlight. Come. And search us. So we cry out to you like the Israelites of old. And you are the God who hears our cry and who delivers us. Would you deliver us today? Would you start that hunger and thirst for righteousness today? Would you expose the work of the enemy today? Would you begin to do that work right now in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives? Right now, we give you permission. Come. And just like Gideon, would you give us the courage, even this very day, to start to smash the things that are in the way, to open our hands up, to loosen the work of the enemy in our lives. Would you do that? Unravel it, God, and free us from its grip. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want you to turn to someone beside you and say, be loosed. Be loosed.